This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org. Here's your host, Mike Causey.
Hey, welcome to Your Turn. Mike Causey here. I'm going to be speaking today with Walton Francis. He is the longtime editor and author of the Consumer Checkbook's Guide to Federal Health Plans. And Walt is gracious enough to come join us during the open season. By the way, open season ends December 13th, so you still have plenty of time to shop, but the clock is ticking. And this is the kind of thing you probably should not be putting off. Walt, thank you for coming in again today. And I want to preface this by saying my eldest son listened to the show last week. He's curious. And he was fascinated by we were talking about Roth IRAs on steroids. And he said that caught his ear and his eye. And that's the subject of today's column. I hope people read it and realize some of the things we're going to be talking about. But the important thing of this, I had dinner last night with my daughter-in-law and her husband, my ex-daughter-in-law, and she's a private sector employee. He works for the government. And she said he's stewing over which health plan to purchase. And she had almost no choice in the private sector. It was easy for her. It was this or that, and both pretty good. But she was talking about the wealth of choices that federal workers and retirees have in this health program. There's something like 30 plans for people in the Washington area?
Closer to 40, Mike.
40, okay, 38 maybe, I imagine. Yeah, and in the real world, beyond the Beltway, 30 is not unusual, correct?
Correct, absolutely. It's common.
Okay, I mean, so that's the good news and the bad news for people. If you have a choice of one or two, it's sort of easy to make. But with that many, it's very important. But getting back to this Roth IRA on steroids, what's that all about?
Well, that's a function of the fact that we have so many different kinds of plans. We have HMOs, we have traditional health insurance, and so on. And we now have these high deductible plans with health savings accounts, HSAs. And the way these plans work, their unfortunate name of high deductible is there's a high deductible before regular medical insurance kicks in. But you start the year, or actually you get it every pay period, but you from your premium during the year, the plan pays, and it varies from plan to plan. There's a half dozen high deductible plans, but typically $800 towards your medical expenses into a health savings account. And that money is, that initial chunk of money is paid out of the premium. And because of that, it's tax privileged, tax free. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're getting a tax free investment. And if you think of, I think the way to think of a high deductible plan is suppose you stayed in it for 10 years, what would happen? Well, in that example, you'd have $800 a year coming in for 10 years. That's $8,000. But you can contribute more. You can add up to about $3,600 a year in voluntary contributions. They reduce your taxable income by the same amount you contribute. So depending on your exact marginal tax bracket, and we're talking about Medicare and Social Security taxes, as well as federal and state income taxes, you're probably somewhere 25 or 30% marginal tax rate. So you're getting almost a one-third saving on anything you contribute voluntarily towards this health savings account. So that money's going in tax-free. Now think, suppose you put in $2,000 a year. Well, after 10 years, that's $20,000 more. But meanwhile, that money in that account is being invested. It's your money. You invest it. You can put it in stocks or bonds. Maybe it's only growing at 5% a year. But after 10 years, there's another ching-ching. Okay.
Yeah.
And if you take the money out for healthcare expenses, it comes out tax-free. So that's why it's like an IRA in steroids. It goes in tax-free, grows tax-free, and comes out tax-free. And for prudent feds who are, you know, they're contributing the max that's matched to the federal government's thrift plan, this is a way to save an additional chunk of money.
Well, couldn't I, say, as a worker, get in one of these HD plans, max out, put in 800 plus 3,600 or whatever, but put a lot of money in it. And then maybe after I retire and I'm older and not as healthy, maybe switch to a different health plan, but I get to keep that. Everything that's in that HD account.
Oh, yeah, it's your money, okay?
I could invest it at Charles Schwab or something.
And, yeah, you could really. You could switch plans 5 open seasons down the road, and you will take your health savings account with you, still growing. You won't be adding to it anymore, but it'll still be growing.
And what's the downside now? What if I get really sick and I need it? Then I use it, right?
It's not much of a downside. Let's say during that same 10-year period, you know, 1 year, you have that heart attack, okay? And you have a $50,000 hospital bill. What happens? Well, you will pay, again, it's typical number, $2,000 in deductible out of pocket. And then have real health insurance, full health insurance kicks in, and the plan has a catastrophic maximum. Most you could be out of pocket, okay? And you spend a little bit out of your health savings account, a couple thousand bucks.
Yeah.
This is not a big deal because you have that account. It is for health care, but you can use it starting on day one. You can even, in a year you have a heart attack, maybe you aren't normally adding extra money. Well, that year you could add more. And we're talking for a family, you can add up to about $7,000 a year. Okay. This is especially a good option for young couples or young singles investing because it's something you, no matter how your future employment goes, whatever's in that account is yours. But for people over 55, it's also, there's something called a catch up contribution, an extra $1,000 you can put into this thing and shelter from income tax.
Is maybe a way to reverse this question is there anybody that shouldn't have a high deductible account?
Well, if you are someone who has very high and continuing prescription drug expenses, maybe a type 1 diabetic, okay, you're always going to be burning up that initial amount of money in the HSA, and then in the high deductible notch. And it's much harder. You can still use it. You can still pay the prescription drugs out of pocket and put the money away into the health savings account. But you're probably better off financially, almost certainly better off financially, in a more traditional health plan with a low deductible or no deductible, as some are, and a good prescription drug coverage.
I spoke to a woman a couple of weeks ago, and a very young retiree, but she is retired from the government. And I'm sure she said, and I didn't want to do a double take, but I'm sure she said she had $50,000 in her health savings account. Is that possible?
It's not only possible, it's easy. I know a number of people that have that much money or close to it in their health savings account. Again, you don't have to put in a whole lot if you put it in for 5 or 10 years and it grows because you invested it smartly. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. We've got a lot more subjects to cover here, but let's go to the mailbox. We got some questions from people today, and this is from, I don't think he wants to name. He says, thanks so much for the work you do. My wife and I are on Medicare A and B. I've been looking at some of the Advantage plans, particularly Aetna, as United Healthcare is not in my neck of the woods. My question concerns the list of preferred providers. It seems much thinner than we have been used to since we've been in Blue Cross Blue Shield Basic for a long time. The Advantage plans seem to imply that they will work with any provider who accepts Medicare assignment and is also willing to accept the Advantage plan. To be honest, the language is a bit confusing to me. It seems this would be true of any plan. When evaluating the newer Advantage plans, should I assume that the provider list in the plan's directory will be the one that I need to work with? And we talked about Medicare Advantage plans last week, but what's the question here?
Okay, first, let me just say the Aetna Advantage plan is one we rate very highly, okay? Mm-hmm. But all those Medicare Advantage plans are very good. In fact, anyone who's retired and with Medicare Parts A and B and is not considering at least one of those plans compared to whatever else you're in is making a serious open season mistake. You may not, you may decide not to switch, but at
check
least
it
check it out. All these plans have very broad provider networks, but they vary. They're not all identical in terms of what happens if you go out of network. And in the Medicare Advantage system, if you're in one of these special FEHB Medicare Advantage plans, You are limited to the plan's network unless it explicitly allows otherwise. But if so, that's fine.
Check
and,
it.
You know, every doctor isn't going to be taking Medicare, but the vast majority do. Every doctor's not going to be taking Aetna Advantage or the United Advantage plan. You know, they're all if you're in the Kaiser Medicare Advantage plan, you're limited to Kaiser doctors. But, yeah, that's a separate choice you can make. As to the plans listing of participating doctors, be a little cautious. Those lists are for doctors participating in the plan today.
Yep.
And come January 1st, the same doctors may not be, you know,
yep.
they may be dropping out of the network. So if there's one or two or three doctors you really care about keeping, give their office a call and ask, is Doc Sawbones going to be in Plan X, whatever plan you're inquiring. This is a broader,
right.
This is no matter what plan you're in. Make sure your doctors are in that plans network for next year. And I would add that for most people in Medicare Parts A and B, even if you go to a doctor who's not in the plan network, you have a guaranteed – your Part A and B, Part B, the doctor part of Medicare, serves as something you can always use out of network. Okay.
Okay.
And your choice is 95% plus of all doctors.
Wow. Good news. Got to take a short break here. Our producer, Eric White, says we've got to do it, and we'll do it here on federalnewsnetwork.com, 1500 AM. Be right back. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, and I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is the longtime editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And they not only have a booklet, which I like, and you can get on some newsstands if you can find a newsstand, but they also now have an online version that I know, Walt, you and many people prefer because it's more flexible and you can just do more things with it. Would you explain a little bit about what that is, how it works, and how people can get it?
Sure. What Checkbook does is compare all the health plans available to federal employees and annuitants, and no matter what your age, location, et cetera, is, we cover them all throughout the nation. We compare them based on any number of factors. So you can, you know, find out which plan has the best maternity benefit.
Yeah.
You can find out on our website,
You
know, whatever your question is. But the main comparison we make, and the one we generally encourage people to use, is we look at each plan for people in a wide variety of health circumstances. A good year when your expenses are low, a high-cost year when they're very high, a high-cost year when they're not that high but still high, and an average year, okay? And we can compute that average using actuarial methods.
Yeah.
Because we already know that more people cost more than fewer
yeah.
people, depending on your family size.
Right.
Older people cost much more than younger people,
right.
a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we know, and if you give us your age, we compute that likely result for you. And for each plan, we come up with a rating. What are your likely
Ooh.
Out-of-pocket costs in this plan, including both the medical out-of-pocket and the premium cost for being in the plan? A for sure expense. And we find, we list the plans in order of likely cost to you for you or a family like yours.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any private information,
yeah.
just general information we ask you to give. And plan A, plan B, plan C, right on down through the roughly 40 available in DC area. But we do it for whatever plans are available in your zip code nationwide. And there are huge differences. Savings of $2,000, $3,000, or even $4,000 for most families if you switch plans during open season. So, and we guide you. We're not going to tell you which plan to switch to, but we are going to
yeah.
say look at plans A or B rather than plans Q or R
yeah.
that are way down in our ratings.
Well, you know, as long as I've covered this beat and dealt with the open seasons and that sort of thing, as a private sector type, I'm blown away with the choices people have and also with the help that the employer gives them, in this case, Uncle Sam. And a number of federal agencies actually subscribe to the service, your service, for the employees, and they can actually – They can shop at work if they want to.
Yeah, anyone who's interested in the guide, or in, I should say, anyone who's interested in comparing health plans during open season and discovering ways to save a lot of money should go to www.guidetohealthplans, all one word, .org, guidetohealthplans.org. And from that homepage, you can right away find out if your agency is one that provides free access to all its employees. We have about a third of the federal government in numbers of agencies and numbers of employees provide such access because it's a smart thing for an employer to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of the HR people are pretty smart, but not all in understanding how important this is to employees. Or you can pay for a very modest amount for your own personal subscription. So either way, it is so easy to use. Takes you maybe 30 seconds to enter some information like your family size and your age and your zip code. And then we take you to results right away and let you probe as deeply as you want. We're not the only comparison website. OPM has quite a good one, one of the better government websites, I may say. Ours and theirs are very similar and provide most of the same information. The one thing we do that no one else does, though, is estimate your likely cost in under each plan.
Okay, that's very interesting. And it's what, something like $13.95 or $14.95?
You know, you shouldn't ask me that question. I think it's $12.95.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very inexpensive. I don't sell it. I just write it.
Sure. And listeners of this program, Federal News Network readers, get a break.
Oh, yeah. You get a discount. Just type it when you're signing up to purchase it. Just it asks you have a code and you type in Fed News.
Okay. Done. Very good. Okay.
Fed News, one word.
Okay. All right. Let's get back. We'll get getting some more questions here. This person, John, says, I'm covered by Medicare Parts A and B. I have Blue Cross Basic option. So am I now eligible for a credit on my premiums from Blue Cross since Medicare is now my primary payer? I heard a guest on another benefits program say that the FEHBP regs do not allow this. And also thanks to Walt for all these years of service.
Well, that's what happens. You tune into the wrong radio station.
Okay.
Good. No, the federal regulations do indeed allow plans to pay all or part of your Part B premium, and many of them do, especially the special Medicare Advantage plans that I mentioned earlier, and we might want to talk about more. But Blue Cross Basic is one of those plans that offers a Medicare rebate, and it's over a third of the Medicare premium, and it makes Blue Cross Basic score very high in our ratings for people with Medicare Parts A and B. So for heaven's sakes, if you're in Medicare Standard, this is an additional reason other than saving premium dollars on the federal premium. Now you can save a chunk more premium dollars from the Medicare premium, but only in Blue Cross Basic among the Blue Cross plans.
Okay. And, you know, it's a good time to point out Blue Cross is the most popular plan in the program, although there are 38 or some in the Washington area. It's the most popular. But I understand from you that there are many times when an awful lot of people are in the Blue Cross High option, and it's excellent. It's a Cadillac and all that. But you're saying that frequently, in a case like this, the Basic might be a better deal.
Yeah, in fact, that's a good example. Whether or not you have Medicare, leave that as a separate question. The higher option, actually called Blue Cross Standard, so it's a weird, costs you over $1,000 more in premium. And we compute that its benefits are on an actuarial basis across a wide range of healthcare expenses, no better than those of Blue Cross Basic.
Yeah.
Okay, they're a little different in detail. For example, Blue Cross Basic has no deductible, but the dollar value Blue Cross Basic compared to Blue Cross Standard option is close to a $2,000 saving for a family. Now, there's a limit. There's always a little bit of a gotcha.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Basic only covers you for doctors who are in the Blue Cross network, okay? Whereas Standard will cover you for doctors who are not in the Blue Cross network. But since 90% plus of all doctors are in that network, And you really don't want to go out of network anyway because you, even though the plan standard option covers you, it doesn't pay in most cases as much as half of what the doctor's going to charge because a non-network doctor, there's a reason he's not in the network.
Yeah.
And the reason is, he, among other things, he charges more than the plan will allow. So Blue Cross Basic is a great buy and one of the top half dozen plans in most circumstances. Our ratings are separate depending on age, family size, with or without Medicare Part A or A and B, and each plan scores differently in those different circumstances. But in most of those comparisons, Blue Cross Basic is a fine choice.
Right. Good. Okay. All right. And you're always telling people to shop around. If you've been in the same health plan for 5 or 6 years, there's a very good chance you're in the, quote, wrong plan as far as the premiums and benefits are concerned, right?
Absolutely. And this isn't just hypothetical.
I mean,
we have data the government collects that show how many people are enrolled in each plan. And, more than half of all federal employees are enrolled in plans from which they could, if they migrated to a less costly plan, they could save $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000.
That's amazing. Got a long question here, but a good one. This is background. I'm a retiree under the CSRS offset program and, sadly, a widow. So I have my pension and my engineer husband's survivor Social Security benefit he started taking after he turned 70. And also as a result of a long-ago real estate investment, I'm lucky enough to have a nice added income from the farmland property. I'm in the position of deciding whether to sign up for Medicare B when I turn 65 next year. Based on the new Medicare B rates that were just announced, I would likely have to pay the IRMAA that is now $5,300 plus per year for Medicare B for the remainder of my life, or even sometimes in the $6,500 per year category. Currently, I use GEHA HDHP, high deductible, and I understand that when I reach 65, my HSA will become an HRA. I'm strongly thinking of turning down Medicare B and sticking with GEHA high deductible until such time as my health and age suggest I switch to a different plan. Now, question. For someone who would likely pay a higher IRMAA for their lifetime, can FEHBP and Medicare A be sufficient health care coverage as they age? Your thoughts on the decision is for a federal retiree who would continually pay high IRMAA for Medicare Part B, assuming this individual also has a reasonable amount of savings that can weather some of the higher out-of-pocket costs as they age and their health declines. First off, what's an IRMAA?
Or as I like to call it, IRMA.
IRMA.
That's a special tax that's levied on high-income annuitants. It's all any retiree in America who has Medicare Part B over at age 65 and is retired, okay, will pay not the normal Part B premium, but one that's a lot higher. Next year, for most people, the Part B premium will be around $170 a month or just about $2,000 for all of 2022. But the IRMA people sometimes pay 50% more than that or double or even triple that amount. Our general advice is take Part B. It's worth it. It's still a bit of a close question. But, if you're paying the normal Part B premium, there's good reasons to sign up for Part B. But if you're paying the IRMA excess tax premium, no, don't do it. You're spending a lot of money for insurance you don't need. And that plan that you had at age 64 in the federal employee system didn't get worse the day you turned 65. Now, in this woman's case, she's in a very good plan, the GEHA high deductible plan. She's being very smart about it. I got to caution her that that you lose the tax-free going-in health savings account. You keep the one you have, but you can't add money to it if you have other insurance. And Medicare Part A
is other
counts
insurance.
For other insurance. So for her, the reason not to be in Part B is not to keep you in that health savings account longer. It's just you don't want to pay that excess premium.
Okay.
So she has multiple options, and she won't be alone. About 1/4 of all federal annuitants over 65 do not have Part B. They have Part A only.
Okay. So glad you're here with that one. We're going to take a short break here on FederalNewsNetwork.com, 1500 AM, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey here, talking with Walton Francis. He is the longtime editor of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plans for Federal Workers. There is the print edition, as we said, is available at many newsstands, if you can find a newsstand, and also the online version. Well, what are the call letters again for people who want to go to the, it's www.guidetohealthplans.org?
Yes, that's the place to go.
Okay, and then they can find out about the online version. And I think you pointed out that about a third of the federal agencies or the federal workforce, now the government is subscribing for them. So they subscribe to this service for
right.
that you put out.
And they'll have free access. They can in the office or at home. After they've eaten that grand Thanksgiving dinner, they might want to sit down and spend half an hour comparing plans, and our website makes it really easy. By the way, if you're a Federal News Network listener, you can get a discount by typing in Fed News.
Okay, all right.
One word.
All right. That last question we had before the commercial break was so detailed and so good, and you said you had some follow-up to that.
Yeah, one key point. That questioner had probably not recently read carefully the section of her GIHA high deductible brochure that explains exactly how the high deductible plan works and when the health savings account converts to stops being possible to add money to.
Mm-hmm.
You always keep it, okay, because you have other insurance. And, you know, it's worth refreshing your memory. Or if you're not in one of those high deductible plans already, for heaven's sakes, just look at the brochure, because they all have excellent descriptions of how the plan works during working years and in retirement. And there's half a dozen of them. But, you know, mail handlers, or they call it MHBP now, high deductible, GIHA high deductible, Care First high deductible in the D.C. metro area, and United high deductible. And I'm probably forgetting one, but there's half a dozen of those plans. Just pick one brochure to compare to whatever plan you're in now, and think about the potential, not just for a one-year saving, but maybe a decade or more of saving. And that leads me to one more general point we might want to discuss more.
Sure.
The way to choose a new health plan is to compare brochures, okay?
Yeah.
These are these 100-page documents. You don't want to read them,
uh-huh.
but you can at least look at the pages that matter most to you and your family, like how does the plan change for next year?
Yeah.
And you could get those brochures from the OPM website, from the checkbook website, or for the plan websites, okay? And just look at them on the computer screen and compare key features for that matter to you.
Right. And you said, I know you said in earlier shows that people should look at least three health plans, and not only studying them, seeing if your doctor is going to be in them next year when they take effect, but also what changes your plan is making, what changes the plan you're considering is making.
Absolutely. One example of someone who should not be in a high deductible plan, by the
mm-hmm.
way,
uh-huh.
a young couple, and I actually had someone I counseled who had this situation. The young couple had been in a high deductible plan for several years. They were loving their savings. They were contributing extra money to the health savings account. But the time had come, they decided to have a baby.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't really want to have to pay a $2,000 deductible the year they had a baby. And they asked, can we switch plans for 1 year and then switch back?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is yes, of course. So the year you're going to have the baby, switch to a plan that pays 100% of maternity costs. Keep your health savings account because it's yours forever. And then a year later, in open season, you can switch after you've had the baby, switch back and resume paying into the high deductible account, the health savings account. So open season is for accommodating to your health care needs, and they can change from year to year. And some of them you know in advance and some you don't. So it's a smart shopping time of year.
And I remember years past, you said that very often, all things being equal, that a lot of the HMOs, the health maintenance organizations, are very good with maternity benefits.
Absolutely. And many of the plans are, but not all. The really good ones, either you pay nothing or you pay for maybe two or three, $30 a visit for two or three doctor visits, but the actual delivery costs are all mm-hmm. covered. But you need to check that benefit. It's not the same in all plans. It's easy to check. You open the electronic brochure. You search on the word maternity.
Yeah.
Okay. You find the maternity benefit and do that for two or three plan brochures. And you right away will spot the differences and you can make a decision resting, by the way, importantly, on one more key question, which you can always research pretty easily. Is my gynecologist a preferred provider in health plan A or B or C?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, get a plan that's a good buy with your gynecologist, and you've made a great decision.
Well, you know, that's, to me, as a private sector type, this is one of the extraordinary advantages of the Federal Employee Health Benefits Program. You mentioned you're going to have a baby, switch to a plan for a year, have the baby, and then maybe switch back to your old one or find a new one. But there, with 38 options, I mean, if someone could switch in theory, for 30 or more years, they could have a different plan every year, playing to its strengths as against your medical weaknesses.
Or even just a continuing expense. Some people want very much to go to an acupuncturist every year. Well, with almost 40 plans to choose from, believe me, there are differences in acupuncture coverage and cost. And you can easily compare a couple of plans for that or ask your acupuncturist provider which plans pay you best, okay? So you have – I once talked to someone who worked for a major insurance company, and she actually complained the insurance company, health insurance company, didn't provide an acupuncture coverage in her plan. And federal employees did have it in many plans, and she was jealous.
Yeah, that is really incredible. And again, the downside of this federal health plan really is so many choices, so many options. I mean, that's a bad thing when you're doing it, but it's a gift when you pick the right plan.
Absolutely.
Okay. Catastrophic coverage. And I remember you taught me this many years ago, and I hadn't thought of it. It's logical when you think about it, but I hadn't thought of it. And that is the reason you buy health insurance. You know, the reason you buy fire insurance is in case your house burns down or burns up. You don't want it to, but if it does, you're covered. Same with various things. Catastrophic coverage is... It is what it says, but I'm not sure many people realize. But that's the leading cause of bankruptcy in the United States currently is high medical bills, and this is a way that you could avoid that by getting the right plan. What do we mean when we talk about the catastrophic coverage,
okay,
and how does it vary?
Sure, it's maximum out of pocket MOOP is what it's called in the jargon of the insurance industry, and it's the dollar guarantee the plan gives you that the most you will have to pay out of pocket next year, it's a yearly coverage benefit, will be X dollars. And they'll tell you that dollar amount. And every FEHB plan is required by the Office of Personnel Management to provide such coverage, and they all do. Okay. But there's another expense people often don't think of in the same moment, which is your premium. That's a for sure expense.
Yeah.
And so the real maximum you may pay out of pocket next year for insurance coverage is the premium plus the worst case medical cost scenario, hit by a truck or whatever.
Yeah.
And the maximum cost, as we calculate it that way in health plans for family, and I'm just giving a few examples here, there are half a dozen plans where the MOOP, the maximum out-of-pocket cost, including premium for family, is $10,000 or less. Okay, $8,000, $9,000 or $10,000. There are a half a dozen plans where it's $18,000 or $19,000 or more. So you can protect yourself and cut your potential maximum out of pocket in half by making a different plan choice.
Yeah.
If you're in one of the plans where the MOOP coverage isn't as good. And it's probably not something you normally think about, but as you said, it's the fundamental reason why you're buying health insurance to begin with. Okay. So, and it turns out you know, this is a reason maybe to reconsider whether or not you'd want to join the Kaiser family of plans, because they all have really excellent maximum out-of-pocket coverage. But so do some Aetna plans, some United plans, some GEHA plans. So, you know, you have options to choose from, and you don't have to be in the options that the same companies may provide that are way up there in the $18,000 or $20,000 range.
Okay, yeah, that's the kind of thing that I think particularly young people don't think about. But what is the if a disaster if your car goes over a cliff? You know, if you in this era of COVID, if you get a major disease or something, illness, how are you going to handle that? And this is the solution. And correct me if I'm wrong. There's no limit or back to the backstory to this. For instance, I could switch plans every year. To avoid this catastrophic limit.
Yeah, well, to get a better catastrophic limit.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's say you have a major operation scheduled for next year. Then you need to check two things for sure.
Yeah.
Is my doctor in the plan?
Yeah.
And which plans? And it'll be more than one. And which of those is going to reduce my costs for that expensive surgery?
Yeah.
Okay, to the smallest possible amount.
Okay.
And why not join the plan that'll limit your cost to 10 grand instead of 20 grand?
Why not indeed? Okay, you need to take a short break here on federalnewsnetwork.com, 1500 AM. We'll be right back. Hey, Mike Causey here. Welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Walton Francis of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans. And we are, of course, in the midst of an open season when people can shop for a new plan or a new option within their same plan. And it ends December 13th. And Walt, there's something that's new to me, the concept. I guess it's been around a couple of years. These Medicare Advantage plans, I mean, how good are they and what do they do?
Okay, this is something, it's not brand new this year, but it's pretty new in the last few years.
Yeah.
And most annuitants should know about it and don't know about it.
Right.
Okay. There is increasing number of federal employee health plans now offer a deal where you stay in their plan and in addition sign up for what's called a Medicare Advantage plan, which they have specially designed just for their federal annuitant enrollees. And the Medicare Advantage plan will, if you're in that sub-option, and you have to have Medicare Parts A and B to do this, okay? You could be in the regular health plan without Parts A and B, but this is if you have them as well, you join this Medicare Advantage plan, you will pay zero or close to zero for all doctor costs, zero or close to zero for all hospital costs, and in most cases, they'll pay part of your Part B premium. And you can find this in Aetna plans, in United plans, and even in some of the old war horses of the program, like the Compass Rose plan this year, which is a plan especially for people who are or formerly were in the intelligence agencies, and there are many of them, or foreign service agencies. You want to be, if you have Parts A and B, you want to be in their special Medicare Advantage plan. It's a great option.
And I understand being an intelligence-based NSA, CIA, all those people, and State Department, as you said, Defense, and they have a pretty good overseas benefit as well for obvious reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Very good. Dental. We haven't said anything about dental, and I think some people forget it's there. How does that work in the federal program?
Well, it works in a way most people don't know about. Another topic that's sort of an insider secret. There are three ways to get dental coverage in the federal employees program. You can get it from the official dental benefit in the plan, the health plan. Okay, some of them, not most, but some have an official dental benefit beyond accidental coverage, which they all do. But, you know, they'll pay typically your annual checkup, your x-rays, fillings. Quite a few plans have that benefit. Then there's something that is called an unofficial dental benefit. A lot of plans have that. They will actually, in their dental benefit section, they'll say, we have no other dental benefit. You turn the brochure a couple of pages and they say, oh, we have these unofficial benefits, and they list them. And one of them often is a dental benefit. You get a big discount if you use participating in their network dental providers. And the third way is to join one of these standalone dental plans called FedVIP plans. They are offered to federal employees as an extra insurance benefit, something you could sign up for or change during open season. Okay, there are, about 20 of them, counting all their various options. They are sponsored by some of the same companies, Aetna and Blue Cross and so on, GEHA, United. They give you full dental coverage, not just of your routine dental expenses, like your annual checkup, but, you know, suppose you need crowns or bridges, okay? All these plans cover the really expensive things, but you do have to pay a premium, an extra premium for them, and it's a premium that the government pays no part of, so you're paying the whole bill. And, you know, our advice, by the way, checkbook rates all the dental plans, all three categories, and we show you how each plan treats you in a year where you have only these low-cost routine expenses, where you have some more some middling cost expenses like fillings, okay, and when you have really high expenses like crowns and bridges. And we show you which plans are the best deals, for example, and as well, orthodontic, okay? So we rate them all, and you can sort them out any way you want.
Eric White has just given us the now 1 minute, 40-second warning. So can you sum up?
Please, please, whatever you do, compare a couple of plan brochures or summaries of plan benefits. You can do it. You can look at summaries side by side on the OPM website or the checkbook website. And you may not remember until you do such a comparison. Oh, I forgot about, just to take one example, dental. Okay. And now on our website in particular, you can really delve in deeply comparing plans. And you don't even have to open those 100-page brochures until you narrow it down to two or three choices. So please, please do at least a little research. Even if all you do is compare brochures in the family of plans you're in, GEHA, five different plans, Blue Cross in the D.C. area, four or five different plans, Aetna and United, multiple plans, Kaiser, three plans, okay? Take a look, compare at worst a different plan in the system you're already in.
A little work and you can save an awful lot of money. Okay. Thank you, Walter Francis, for being here. And your guide number is in our Federal Report column today, so check that out. Thanks, Eric White, for pushing the buttons. We'll see you all here next week. Have a good Thanksgiving and do some shopping.
You've been listening to Your Turn with Mike Causey, brought to you by WEPA on Federal News Network. WEPA is the life insurance choice of over 46,000 federal workers and their families. Learn more at weepa.org.
Hello, and welcome to the Lessons in Leadership podcast. I am your host, Shane Canfield, CEO of WEPA. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Vice Admiral Cutler Dawson. Cutler has had an incredible career serving our country for 35 years in the Navy, where he attained the rank of Vice Admiral. And during his service, he had numerous assignments afloat and ashore, including Commander, Second Fleet, Striking Fleet Atlantic, and in Washington at the Pentagon and on Capitol Hill, where he was the Navy's Chief of Legislative Affairs. Immediately following his retirement from active duty in 2004, he became the president and CEO of Navy Federal Credit Union, the world's largest credit union, where he served for 14 years. Under his leadership, Navy Federal grew from 2 million to 8 million members. Phenomenal. Cutler, welcome and thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Shane.
You've had a fascinating career across both military and the private sector. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background and your professional journey?
Well, I started out at the Naval Academy, where I graduated in 1970, and then, as you mentioned, spent 35 years in the Navy with six actual afloat commands. The first one was when I was 27 years old. I didn't know enough to be scared of anything, and it was probably one of the highlights of my career. And then after I retired after 35 years, I went to work at Navy Federal Credit Union as the CEO, where I spent my next 14 years. I'm currently retired and enjoying life, and it's been a great run for me.
How would you describe your leadership style, and how's that developed over the years?
My style has been quite consistent. I believe, and I've learned this in the Navy, that you have to go to the deck plates to see what is going on. And you have to learn what your people do and how they do it so you can help them to be better at it and more efficient and more productive. It's something that you need to do all the time. I remember I used to tell folks that you don't want to retreat to your cabin. And what I mean by that is the longer you're in a position, the less you think you have to get out and about. But that should be the opposite. You should get out and about more, because people change, situations change, and you've got to figure out a way to get to them and find out what they're doing and what you can do to help them.
We'll talk a little bit more about your book, but I read it, From Sea to the C-Suite. Fantastic read. You talk about the deck plates in that as well. I would encourage everyone to get a copy of this and read some more detail about going to the deck plates. Cutler, who was the most impactful leader in your life, and what quality did you admire about them?
I had numerous while I was in the Navy, but the quality that I enjoyed the most was the leaders that got to know me as an individual, and that they cared about me, and I could tell that they cared about me. And they were not only my leaders, but they were my mentors. And I remember one particular one, Bill Schiffer, when I had my first assignment at the Pentagon. I would go in to see him with my problem of the day, and I knew that he had numerous problems of his own, but he would stop and he would focus on me, and he would make me feel like I was the most important person in his world. And I tried to do that throughout my career. But really, it's about caring for your people.
Cutler, in reading your book, there was a quote you used that you used to inspire those people that work for you. And it really got my attention. And it was, you are the captain of your own ship. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what that means and how it was useful to you and the leaders you were developing.
Absolutely. What I mean by captain of your own ship, when you are the captain of a ship, sometimes you're in the middle of the ocean and you don't have anybody to turn to make decisions. You don't have anybody to turn to ask, what should I do now? You have to be the captain of that ship. And I translated that into, let's say, Navy Federal's organization, where I would tell branch managers that I said, you are the captain of the ships of Navy Federal. You're the ones that are facing the members or customers, as others call them, every day. And you have to make decisions without a lot of guidance in some cases and without a lot of time. So be the captain of your own ship. Step up, make decisions, do what you think is right, and you never can go wrong.
I think that is so important. And you have to give your people a little bit of latitude to take some risk as well, because there is risk for them in doing that and risk to your organization.
That's right. And I mentioned that I took command of my first ship with 5 years in the Navy, and I was 27 years old. Well, my boss had 32 years in the Navy, and his guidance to me when I first met him was, Cutler, you do the right thing and I'll back you up all the way. What a wonderful way to spend an assignment with backup and guidance like that.
What great advice. It's clear leadership is a topic you're passionate about. You wrote the book we mentioned before, From Sea to C-Suite. Can you tell us a little bit about that project?
Yes, when I was at Navy Federal, I would tell sea stories as parables to get my point across. And folks would tell me, Cutler, we like your stories. It gives us a picture of what you're trying to tell us. Now, what else are they going to say? They work for me, but I took it as a compliment, and it was. And my wife encouraged me to write a book, and I needed a co-author to help me. And I found a lady named Taylor Keelan, who was the perfect co-author. She turned in my stories into wonderful chapters that I'm very proud of.
Where can listeners find a copy?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, and you can also get it on the Naval Institute website. And I might add that any proceeds from the book, Navy Federal uses to give to charity.
Fantastic. Cutler, thank you very much. Really enjoyed your time and your lessons and in leadership and sharing with us your life story. And I've learned a lot both from talking to you today and reading your book. And thank you very much for your time.
It's my pleasure. And I would like to add one thing if I could, Shane. During my assignments in Washington, D.C., I gained the utmost respect for the civilians that work here every day. They're hardworking, they're dedicated, and they have my eternal gratitude. I got to come and go from the Pentagon. They stayed every day and worked in Washington when I got to go out and enjoy being at sea.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, WAPA serves civilian federal employees, but your comment is well taken because the interaction between the two is continuous, it's nonstop, and it's critical. So the career civil servants, as well as career military, our country would not be where it is today without them.
I totally agree. And I can tell you from the U.S. Navy standpoint, we couldn't operate like we do without them being the backbone of what we do.
Thank you very much for your time today, Cutler, and to everyone listening to Lessons in Leadership podcast. We'll see you next time.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.